The scripture reading this morning is that beautiful Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Before we open this beautiful passage, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts, our thanks we bring. Bless us now today, Lord, as we meditate on this beautiful psalm. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? Lord, we pray that we may take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. You are worthy of all praise and glory. Grant, O Lord, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, it is wonderful to have Thanksgiving Day. It is one of the most blessed holidays of all the year. Of course, we love Christmas and Easter and all the other blessed days of celebration. But Thanksgiving Day is special. It's special because it calls us to focus on the giver of every gift. It's Thanksgiving Day. God is the source of all good things. In fact, in the Belgic Confession, the author Guido de Bray describes God in most beautiful words, and then concludes that article with this phrase, "Who is the overflowing fountain of all good." What a beautiful expression. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. Now, a fountain is different than a reservoir or a cistern. A fountain is constantly supplying water, constantly. A fountain is alive. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. Every day we receive good things from the Lord. Every day the Lord gives us breath. He gives us a sunrise. He gives us work. He gives us hope. He gives us joy. The Lord our God is the giver of every good thing. You know, there's a song that says, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." That's a beautiful song. When I was pastor in Central Avenue Church in Holland, we had people in our church who were at Birchwood Manor. That's a rest home on 32nd Street. And I would go there and visit our people there. And there was a man named Melvin who sat right at the entrance of the rest home. And he sat in a wheelchair because he didn't have any legs. And I would say, "Hi, Melvin." And you know what he would say? "Count your many blessings, name them ton by ton." That was Melvin. No legs. And he was a happy man. You know why? Because he knew the Lord. He knew Jesus. He knew that God was the source of everything he had. "Count your many blessings, name them ton by ton." So the psalmist in the psalm of this morning, Psalm 116, it's a beautiful psalm. It's a confession. Really, the psalm is a confession. It's a confession of faith, and it begins that way. "I love the Lord. I love the Lord." And the psalmist went through some really tough times. We don't really know who the psalmist was. It's not told us. But he describes some of the things that he went through. "The snares of death come past me. The pains of the grave laid hold upon me. I suffered distress and anguish." I mean, this was bad. This was rough. But what does he say? "I love the Lord." Why? "Because you have heard my voice. You have heard my cry for mercy." He knew the Lord in a personal way. He knew that God, as it were, bent down to hear his cry. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thing. In the midst of all the troubles, I found trouble and anguish. The snares of death encompassed me. I mean, it was bad. He was living in a very hard experience. We don't really know what it was, but we knew that his life was in danger. "The snares of death enclosed upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." But in the midst of all of that, he says, "I love the Lord." The Lord is still there. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is great and good. We sing, "How great is thy faithfulness. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me." No matter what the circumstances of life are, God is still there. And God is still on the throne. There was a man who built a shed. It was kind of a shed. And he put a weather vane on top of the shed. And the weather vane had these words on it: "God is good." And someone said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "No matter what way the wind blows, God is always good. God is the giver of every good gift." This is the feeling of the psalmist too. "I love the Lord." And then he comes to this question: "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" What shall I render to him? Now the word "render" is an old English word which means give. What can I give to the Lord for all his benefits to me? That's the question. And he answers the question in a beautiful way. In a way, a surprising way. "I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people." So he has a question and he has an answer. So let's look at that. The question is, what shall I give to the Lord? What shall I render to the Lord? That question implies a couple of things. One is that the psalmist knew that what he had was undeserved. What shall I give to the Lord? I didn't deserve it. It's all of grace. And not only is that assumption of the psalmist, also he knew who was the giver. He says, what shall I render to the Lord? What shall I render to Jehovah? And that is God's covenant name. That's the name that he gave to Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. It is his covenant name. It is the name that speaks of God's faithfulness, that he never changes, that God is faithful always, morning, noon, and night, in youth, in middle age, and in old age. He is always faithful. He is the same. Our covenant God, there is no other. So the psalmist knows that. And he describes the character of God. He says, I was brought low and he helped me. He heard my cry. And then he describes God's character. He says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Three very important descriptions of God. We would call them attributes. Three marvelous, marvelous characteristics or attributes of God. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Gracious means it is completely undeserved. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. It's all a gift. We don't deserve anything. We do not deserve it. We don't earn it. It's a gift which God gives to us. That's what grace means. He is gracious and full of mercy. Mercy is a description of God's feeling of compassion for us. That word mercy in the Spanish, it's misericordia. In the Dutch, it's barmhartigheid. Mercy is God's feeling of tenderness to us. Not only is it undeserved, it's God's feeling of tenderness to us. As a father loves his children, so the Lord has pity on us and cares for us. That's who he is. And our God is righteous. That's a marvelous word too. The righteousness of God really means that God has taken care of the problem of sin. And he has taken care of the problem of sin not by charging us. As Psalm 103 says, he does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with our sins, but he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Who did he deal with? His only begotten Son. He poured out his wrath on him. That is what righteousness means. That Jesus Christ paid the price of our sin on the cross. That ought to overwhelm us with gratitude. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yes, our God is merciful. You know what he's done for us? The psalmist lays it out. He gives us three beautiful things he did for us. He has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That's what he does for us. He does it all the time. He delivers my soul from death. You know, the Bible speaks of three different kinds of death. Physical death. Jesus died the physical death. And every one of us, someday, unless Jesus comes before it happens, we'll have to die. physical. But that's not the worst kind of death. In fact, this psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And he's talking there about physical death. Why is that precious to the Lord? Because it's the home going, it's the harvest gathering of our Lord. That's why sometimes on a casket of one of God's saints, there's a sheaf of grain. It's the gathering of the harvest. That's why it's precious in the sight of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's physical death. And then there's eternal death. And that's hell. And that's never to return. If a person goes to hell, that's it. Oh, may that never happen to any one of us. Oh, Lord, deliver me from that. Jesus suffered hell for us. And the call to the world is repent before it is too late. Come to the Savior now. Today is the acceptable time. Repent from your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will have life. The other kind of death is spiritual death. Physical, eternal, and spiritual. Spiritual death. You know that everyone who is born spiritually dead. The Apostle Paul and the rest of the Bible says it too. You had he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. To be saved means that we must be made spiritually alive. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be raised from spiritual death. And this psalm says, as it describes what God has done for us and why we must render to Him our great and marvelous thanks, is that He has delivered my soul from death. He's given us spiritual life. We are born again. We are not what we used to be. We are a new creature in Christ, that is, as we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and repent of our sins, it's because the Holy Spirit has created a new life in us. That's what Jesus was talking about when Nicodemus came to him at night and said, Lord, we know that you're very special, for you're doing things that nobody else can do. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what it means to be born again is to be raised from spiritual death. And that's what the psalmist says he's so thankful for. He has delivered my soul from death. He's made me a child of his. Are you a child of his? Are you a child of the Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he came to die for you? Do you know that there is no other name than Jesus' name by whom we may be saved? Do you know that? Well, that's a source, really, of great, great, infinite gratitude that you have delivered my soul from death. And because you've done that, you've delivered my eyes from tears. Because when one of our loved ones goes to be with the Lord, yes, we mourn, we cry. But the Lord has delivered our soul from death, our eyes from tears. We still cry, but we know that in the midst of sorrow, there's joy. Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And He delivers our feet from falling. He keeps us on the straight and narrow path. I mean, that's the Lord's doing. So the psalmist says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? The Lord has dealt bountifully with me, says the psalmist. He has dealt bountifully. You believe that? Do you believe that he has dealt bountifully with you? Well, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no question that he has dealt bountifully with us. He has dealt bountifully with us. That's for sure. So that's the question. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I owe the Lord a huge debt. That's what the word render means. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall I pay him? What can I give in exchange for that? What does the Lord need? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth of every mine. The whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What does he need? What can I render to him? What can I give him? What can I give him? What is that he doesn't have? He's got everything. He's got the whole world in his hands. What shall I render to him? What can I? We owe him. We owe him so much. We're in his debt, that's for sure. What shall we render to him? So that's the question the psalmist asks. Then he answers the question himself. What shall I give the Lord? What shall I render to him for all his bounty to me? Here's the answer. Here's the inspired answer. I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this day is a day of thanksgiving. And so we have an offering and we think of what can we give to the Lord, right? The psalmist says, what shall I render to him? You know what his answer is? What I shall render to him is I will take the cup of salvation. Do you know what the highest expression of praise to our Lord and Savior, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is? The highest expression of praise is to take and to receive what he has given to us. The greatest gift that he has given to us. What is it? It is his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now notice, what shall I give the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation. Now can you imagine a person taking all the physical and material blessings of the Lord and enjoying it all? But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to loving him, they say, no, 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 no. That's not for me. That's not for me. Reminds me of the 10 lepers in Luke 12 that Jesus healed. 10 lepers. That was a terrible disease. It was incurable. And they all had a cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. So here are 10 guys. They're all lepers. They've got a terrible disease, an incurable disease, a terminal disease. And they cry unto the Lord, Lord Jesus. And Jesus heals them. One act of Christ. He just heals them all. And he says to them, show yourselves to the priest to show that you're healed. And one, only one, came back to Jesus and said, thank you. Thank you so very much what you did to me. And Jesus says, weren't there 10 that were healed? Where are the nine? And the one that came back was a Samaritan. He was a half-breed. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan. You see, what happened is that those nine, they all took. They all took the blessing that the Lord gave. I mean, what an enormous blessing was that. They were healed of this dreaded disease. So they took that. But did they give thanks? No, they didn't give thanks. They just said, well, I'm glad I'm better. I'm glad I'm better. When Sunday came, they didn't bother to go to church. They didn't bother to open their Bible. They didn't bother to pray. They just took it all for granted. I'm better now. Jesus said, weren't 10 healed? Where are the nine? That's the kind of person, those nine, they took the blessings of the Lord, but they never gave thanks. They never took the cup of salvation. They just took it all for granted. I read an article in a major magazine entitled, Why I Quit the Ministry. Why I Quit the Ministry. Well, here was an evangelical preacher, and he quit. And the article went on to explain why he quit. He said, I preach to this congregation and there's no spiritual response. They want everything that they could get physically, materially. They want all that. They want that. But when it comes to true spiritual life, an expression of thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for the salvation we have in Jesus, they don't want that. He says, so I'm going to go into social work. I'm going to quit the ministry. I'm going into social work. That's where there's more response. That's too bad. You know, in our country today, the call goes out to worship, to give thanks, not to ourselves, but to the Lord who is the giver. He gives crops. He gives beautiful, beautiful crops and fruit on the vines and fruit in the vineyards and in the orchards. The Lord is the giver of everything. We can't produce any of it. He is the one that does it. And so there's so many who take it all, but they don't really take the biggest thing of all, which is the salvation. So that's what the psalmist says. What shall I give the Lord? What shall I render to Him for all His benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation. That's the most important thing which the Lord gave to us. That's the most important thing. And that is the highest expression of gratitude, to take that. And to say, my Jesus, I love Thee. I know You are mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. I love You, Lord. That's what the psalmist is about. The psalm starts with that. I love the Lord. For You have heard my voice. You have heard my cry for mercy. What shall I render to the Lord? I will take the cup of salvation. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. That's prayer. So the child of God who is grateful to the Lord for all His bounty to us, we receive that gift of salvation by faith and repentance and say, yes, yes, Lord, You are mine. I am Your child. You've given me all of this, and I take it with grateful heart. And I call upon the name of the Lord. And I pray. The Lord loves the prayers of His people. The Lord loves the devotion of His children. That's what He loves. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 73, in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own. to keep me near thy side. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control, and then to glory afterward thou wilt receive my soul. What a life! It's wonderful! On this Thanksgiving Day, let's express that to him. What shall I render the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. We've all made vows. We made vows when we made profession of faith. We made vows when we were married. We made vows when we presented our children for baptism. We made vows, many vows to the Lord. The psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows. I will pay my vows to the Lord. I will give to the Lord what I promised him. He's promised everything to me, and I'm going to give him what I promised to him. Oh, the psalmist, it's a beautiful psalm. It's a favorite of the Dutch people who've learned the psalms in the Dutch language. And this is one of the favorites of them all. God heb ik lief means I love the Lord. I love the Lord. What a marvelous expression of faith. And what an expression of gratitude. I love the Lord. And that's a constant thing. It's in the present tense. It means I love him all the time. I will always love the Lord. And the question for everyone on this Thanksgiving Day is this: do you love him? Do you love the Lord? You know that he's the one that has given you everything. He's given us a beautiful family. He's given us 59 years of marriage. He's given us children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The Lord is so good. I love that expression. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. All that I am. All that I am, I owe to thee. I owe it all to him. He gave it all. So he calls us to love him. Oh, may all of us truly know that and love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. That's what Thanksgiving's all about. Oh, may you have a blessed day today with your loved ones, with your friends and family. What a blessing it is. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Gracious is our God. Yes, our God is righteous and merciful. Heavenly Father, may our lives truly show the goodness of the Lord. Bless us this day with our loved ones. Keep us in the hollow of your hand. O Lord, may many come to know you as their Savior. Father, we thank you for the crops that have been gathered in that have yet to be gathered in. Thank you for the fruit growing on the trees and the vineyards. Thank you for every good thing that you've given us. And so bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.